The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the world's number one fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we talk about the most overrated exercises you could do for your body. So don't do these exercises unless you have a specific reason to do them. Apply them properly and they're okay, but for the most part, people don't do them right or use them in the wrong way. Now, this episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Chili. Chili makes the best sleep products you'll find anywhere. So check this out. Here's what they do. They make devices that cool and warm your bed, all controlled with an app. You can even program the app to warm up in the morning to wake you up very softly. It stays at the temperature you set it at. It uses water, so it's no or low EMF. There's two sides. You and your spouse can have different temperatures. These are game changers for sleep quality. Go check them out. Head over to mindpumppartners.com. Find Chili Sleep. Click on it and check out all of their products. Also, all month long, to help people get started and stay consistent with their fitness, because it is January and people are getting started or getting real motivated, we have put together three workout bundles for three different types of people. So in each bundle is 9 months of exercise programming. That means 9 months is planned out for you. Exercises, demos, videos, the whole deal set up for you. Now, here's the three bundles. The first one is for beginners. The second one is for intermediate people, and the third one is for advanced trainees, I should say. So all three bundles, 9 months of exercise programming, all of them discounted heavily, like off of retail, something like 70% off. So if you're interested, go check them out at mapsjanuary.com. Now, if you just want to try one of our programs, you want to get started, you don't know which one to do, MAPS Anabolic is the most appropriate for most people. It's the flagship program. That program on its own is 50% off. You can find that at mapsred.com. You got to use the code January50 for that half off discount.
All righty then. Is this one going to be a controversial one, or is this going to be a fluffy, nice one?
It's always controversial here at Mind Pump, Adam. No, you know what? We did an episode a while ago about the most underrated exercise, right? So exercises that a lot of people weren't doing that were super valuable, that provided an incredible benefit. Let's talk about overrated exercises. Exercises that are valued way more than they should be. Now, I do want to be clear. Well, pretty much every exercise that is in existence that's used has some value if applied appropriately. So I don't want to – overrated doesn't mean zero value.
I just want to say
that – so there's the caveat.
You said that, and we still will get somebody who gets butthurt.
Of course.
You're going to say something. You're going to get – I know we're all going to give an exercise.
Whatever timestamp that was, it was said.
Yeah, ready to hurt some trainer feelings. Well, there's going to be some exercises that some trainers just – because you know what? We have a good portion – I don't know what percentage, but a good portion of our listener base are trainers and their clients.
Yeah.
Right? So we've impacted trainers.
So they send it to their clients.
The client's going to already be a fan and listening, and they're going to be like,
My Pump says it's worthless.
The routine that we just did yesterday had four of the five exercises that My Pump said was the most overrated. Yeah.
Don't do that if you're a client, right?
So just to save the trainer's ass and the potential that they have.
Because the truth is, I mean, of all these exercises,
they all have application.
And some of them are in some of our programs, and I've used some of these even when I knew what I was doing, because they have applications. But the exercise that we listed are overrated because they're used for uses well beyond what they're valuable for, and they're thrown in often.
They're overused. I think that's the term. Every exercise has some value,
right?
And there is an application for damn near everything that is out there. But there are, and I think the list that we put together, a bunch of exercises that you see all the time, in the gym, and they should be the exercises that you rarely see. Yeah. Just that plain and
or
simple.
Or see when they're used specifically in a particular way.
Right, versus getting thrown at the general population all the time.
Well, if we had to have like some kind of rating system, right, for exercises, like we would put these as
the bottom,
the least valuable.
Yeah. Like, okay, so here's the first one. And this is just burpees. Burpees became overrated like over the last 15 years, I would say. I mean, before that, when you saw burpees was when your PE coach would punish you. And so they'd make you do a bunch of these.
Right. We used to call them like Lombardies or up downs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But burpees became this like this ingredient that you could throw into any workout to make them hard. This is how they started becoming used.
Yeah. And I think it goes hand in hand with like boot camps and outdoor, you know, fitness classes, and like the group setting was just a way to exhaust everybody and make them feel like, oh my God, this was like a crazy workout.
Which, by the way, this is the purpose, the sole purpose of why Joe DeCina puts him in his Spartan race shit.
It's so hard.
It's to make it hard as fuck. Like, and he's a big guy around doing things that are hard for the sake of them being hard. Right.
Yeah. So in that setting, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, for conditioning purposes, for specific applications in the right programming, I think they're totally valuable. But I see trainers just using these as a way to make the workout harder because they're like, oh, I got to make this harder. Oh, yeah, burpees, and they throw them in, and people are doing them.
Another reason why I think they're very overrated, though, is because they're done poorly.
Yes.
Look at the list of things that we're about to go over right now of all these overrated exercises, this has to be the one that is abused the most and done the most poorly. There's one other one that's up here that you've addressed before on a YouTube episode we did, but for sure – burpees are done so sloppy and it can be dangerous and just bad patterns for someone to just be going up and down like that.
Flop on the ground and just sort of, make their way up. It's just not, what are you teaching yourself? Like, you're just teaching yourself bad habits. And I think that this is one of those exercises that kind of, it just goes into that category of fatigue where it's almost encouraged to do it to the point where you could barely even like perform it correctly.
Oh yeah. How many times have you seen middle-aged, deconditioned adults doing burpees? And the burpees are literally hit the deck. Mm-hmm. And the way you hit the deck is you squat down on your toes, bend over, kick your legs back,
jump back into position. Low back is arched.
Yeah. Jump back into position.
Right.
And then don't just stand up and jump. Right. And then do it again. Right. I like the whole thing is a bunch of danger and risk and very little value.
Right. And for the trainers that are, maybe you are for the day doing something that is, like a HIIT style, or you're trying to get the heart rate elevated. Mm-hmm. That's your intention. There's other ways that you can do this. Like jumping jacks are better than this. You know what I'm saying? You could do something like that. You could do really slow tempo squats, or just body weight Turkish get ups and watch the heart rate increase from doing movements like that, or lunges. You know, like there's movements that you can do to elevate the heart rate to exhaust somebody without, I think, fatiguing them to the level where their form is going to sacrifice this bad. just to get them exhausted, right?
Totally.
There's other stuff we can
100%.
Do.
100%. All right, the next one, which has been overrated for decades. It's been overrated as long as I've been working out and working in gyms.
And also makes awkward eye contact.
Yes.
Every time I go in the gym.
But I don't think gyms should remove them. They should keep these machines. No. We used to jokingly call them the good girl, bad girl machine, otherwise known as hip adduction, abduction. This is the seated machine where you open your legs or you press them together. Now, it's popular because it works an area that women typically want to sculpt, shape, and get leaner. And so the thought process is, if I train that area, that's where the body fat's going to come off of. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. Your body doesn't spot reduce. So training that doesn't do that.
That's the main reason, I would say, because there is value to it actually, especially, and I would say even more for guys.
Totally.
Because they just don't, there's not a lot of movement throughout the day where they're focused on adduction, abduction of the hip.
The reason why, because there's value in the movement.
Yes.
Right? That movement pattern that you're alluding to right now. But you can get that with a band around the knees walking, tube walking.
Yeah.
And it's going to give you better benefit. Like
more functionality, which is what you're looking for when you're training this.
Combining it because here's somebody who has like their knees that collapse in when they squat, this is an exercise that you would teach them, right? You would mm-hmm. use, but I would not use the machine.
No.
I would go use a tube walk to simulate that, which their feet are planted on the ground just like a squat is. It's going to transfer over and benefit them more than doing that exercise. So for the few places that someone can make the case that this machine has some value, it's like, well, okay, yeah, it does, but I could also list something better than just
there's some better functional movements you can
absolutely
add
in. Yeah, because what the machine aims to do really is kind of like hypertrophy these specific muscles in this very controlled, you know, setting where you're on a track and you're not stabilizing and balancing or doing anything else. And the reality is it's a small muscle. Both the muscles that adduct and abduct are small. I mean, I don't know. I don't think bodybuilders need to really focus on making these grow at all. And if they did, I think it would be kind of a waste of time. They grow better by doing other exercises. Mm-hmm. From a correctional exercise purpose, there's value in training adduction and abduction. But what you said, Adam, is 100% correct. Yeah. If I'm trying to correct a movement pattern and I'm trying to work abduction,
yeah,
it's going to be in the setting of
work on the movement.
Yes, it's going to be in the setting of a walking, you know, a tube walking, or while you're squatting,
side lunges or Cossack squats, or
yeah, one of my favorite ways to strengthen adduction, which is more rare than having to train abduction, but adduction is bringing the knees together. Is I would have somebody squat with a physio ball up against the wall
between their legs
and squeeze something between their knees to create that stability and tension. I would not have them.
Or doing single leg stuff, stepping up to a single leg balance to where they have to stabilize the hip. So you get a combination of both those and strengthening that. So,
and of all the people that use the hip adduction and abduction machine, I'll guess, but I think I'm right, probably less than 5%, if not less than 1%. Are people who are trying to correct an imbalance.
No, it's gotten really
thigh gap.
It's gotten really popular, and I don't know which booty model, Instagram model made this famous, but it's the elevating the ass up in the air because it makes for a sexy video on Instagram that goes viral, and they feel their glute med on fire, you know, and they're hovering their ass off the bench and then they're doing it. It's become extremely popular. Mm. Especially in the women's bikini space. Mm-hmm. But again, so many other movements I can do. Whatever that girl is doing for that exercise, I can give you at least 3 to 4 other exercises that are far more beneficial than doing that silly exercise. But it's become famous, and I think it's become really popular because it's like makes a sexy video on Instagram.
Yeah, 100% does. All right, the next one. I clearly remember when planks became the core exercise in the gym.
Oh my God.
Like it was like overnight.
Exploded.
Like, okay, now planks, a stability exercise. They train stability in the core. By the way, most people do them wrong. They have this strong arch in the back and they're strengthening really this hip flexor stability. Usually people need to strengthen their core stability. So I like more of a tailbone tucked or posterior pelvic tilt position. There's a video I did a long time ago that kind of went viral over it. But I remember specifically, and I think it was the certifications that taught this, but I remember trainers never did planks. There wasn't even an exercise. And then all of a sudden, it was the core exercise. And everybody did planks all the time. And they did them for time and how long can you go and forget your form. As long as you keep your body off the floor, that's a plank. And this is what's going
to happen. What are we reinforcing here the whole time we're holding this with bad form?
Yeah, tight hip flexors.
Oh, yeah.
Tight hip flexors, which happen to be like one of the most common problems that you have to solve for people. People that sit down at desks all day long have short and tight hip flexors.
Crazy.
And then sitting in a position in a plank, most of that is hip flexor that is holding. Very few people are actually using their core. They're normally resting it all on their hip flexor.
Yeah, I see
tightening it up even more.
I see lots of planks with anterior pelvic tilts, strengthening the anterior pelvic tilt. You hear people complain of planking hurting their back. So it's not supposed to. You're not supposed to feel this in your low back at all when you do a plank. And the way that it's programmed into workouts is almost always to fatigue and form out the window. Basically, how long can you hold yourself off the floor? I remember when this became a thing in gyms, and I want to say it was maybe 99 or 2000, all of a sudden everybody was doing it. And then it was like, how long can you plank for? I can do 2 minutes. I can do 3 minutes. Then there were plank competitions. I don't know if you guys ever saw these.
Oh, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this in our gym.
Doing this in the gym,
It became very popular when I was in my early 20s training in gyms. And just like you said, and it's two-pronged here, right? So not only did we, you know, think that we were doing some good with helping with core training, but it also became an easy, lazy way to end your training session. I mean, you go have a client go sit in a five.
Oh, we got 15 minutes left. What are we going to do?
Yeah. Go over, you know, over there where you get to sit down or relax and they're not moving anywhere. There's not a lot of coaching going on. You just hold it. Let's see how long. And all I do is I watch a watch for fucking five minutes. God. You know what I'm saying? Like,
guilty.
For sure. Yeah. 100% guilty of that. I think it was justified because I thought that I was helping or doing some good. But like you said, a clear indication, you brought up the low back thing. I mean, that's a clear indication that you are resting on the hip flexors, right? The hip flexors are starting to pull in that area. Those give out, and then you feel that stress in the low back. If you actually do them correctly, you will feel in your core and abs, which very few people that get down and do a plank
can actually get into that position.
Yeah, get into the position where they feel it in their abs.
In fact, most people have to do it off their knees when they do it the right way, and they feel themselves really activating the core the right way. Now, that, again, it doesn't mean that there isn't applications to planks. Planks are in a lot of our programs, but we program them a specific way. And most of the time, people use them just haphazardly and they're not programmed properly. And they're overrated as a core strengthening, building exercise. They have value, but by themselves, again, just totally overrated. All right, this next one is going to cause a little bit of controversy. I know it. And that's the leg extension. Probably, I would argue, the most popular leg machine in the gym. Would you guys agree or disagree?
That or the leg press, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's got to be, right?
I would actually argue with you on this one maybe more than that now, eight, nine years before we got together. It wasn't until you introduced sissy squats to me would I have argued this. Like, mm-hmm. I just thought that one of the best ways to isolate the quads has to be the leg extensions, and the biggest bang for your buck for isolating the quads, right? Obviously, you know, leg press and squat and hack squat work those, but you get a lot of other things you're working. Yeah. And if I just want to work my quads, I thought leg extensions were the superior movement until I did a sissy squat. Mm-hmm. After doing a sissy squat and the range of motion that you can do with a sissy squat and the how functional it is and the amount of strength that you can build from that, hands down, I don't think it comes even close.
Well, for me, it was in the same thing with the sissy squat, but also like I was just always preferred like front squats. I always preferred like to do a goblet squat or something like that with my heels elevated and, you know, be able to do something a little bit more of like a compound exercise versus, you know, an isolated exercise like that. So I never really found, unless it's for like a rehabilitative purpose. But most physical therapists even talked me out of using that.
Yeah, the sheer force on the patellar tendon and the positioning. I could see rehab applications. I could see poor connection, which is not too common, but sometimes you see poor connection to quad, especially after an injury, where maybe it's helping you really connect and squeeze. And so when you're
imagine someone who just had like an MCL tear.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Right. Like I'm not gonna throw a barbell back squat on that person as their first exercise. They're going to do things like leg extensions. So keep that in mind as we talk about stuff like that. That's a specific application for somebody where that machine makes sense. Yeah. There's a reason why it's still in the gym.
Bodybuilders include it because it's cheap volume, meaning it adds volume, not a lot of stress and damage. So you get the pump. So it's like one of those what they call finisher exercises.
Right.
So, you know, I could see that.
Less demanding.
But keep in mind, bodybuilders, leg extensions are at the end of a, you know, 20-set workout with lots of
combat. You have to, if you're going to go that direction, because you know you're going to get pushback on this one, by the way.
Of course.
We'll probably get, out of all the ones we have on here, we might get the most pushback on this one.
Of course.
And one of the arguments you're going to get is the E-stim argument with how much, or the what's the machine that lights, shows the how much.
Oh, yeah. Now you screwed me.
Come on.
Muscle stim, yeah.
The MRIs or that shows the activation.
Yes, why am I not able?
Activation, yeah.
No. You're on the right track. I can't even think of the name of the machine right now that tells you how much of the
EMG.
Yes, thank you. EMG. Thank you. So you're gonna get that because there's studies around the leg extension showing how much the quads are lit up on one of those machines.
But that doesn't mean strength gains, doesn't mean muscle gains, doesn't mean functional. It just talks about how much the muscle's active. So it doesn't tell you much. Like you can, your biceps or let's say your lats, for example, you'll light them up with a straight arm pull down, but they're not going to build as much as when you can do a pull up just from the sheer tension and load. So same thing with this exercise. It's not very functional. Leg extension, like if you add 50 pounds to your leg extension, you're not going to see a whole lot of carryover to anything else.
Well.
No, but if you add 50 pounds to your sissy squat, you'll see a lot more carryover. So it's a much more functional. Now, I will say this. CC squats are hard. So you may need a band for assistance. Some people just can't do them because
Assisted by holding on to something.
Yes, right?
That's how I started.
Absolutely.
You know what, though? The same thing happened to me with leg extensions as what happened to me with leg curls when I talked to you guys about. So I went on this kick, and it was when we all first got together, mm-hmm. When I really started deadlifting like crazy. And along with that, I was also barbell back squatting more than I ever did either. Mm-hmm. I completely eliminated some of these staple exercises, leg extensions being one of them and leg curls being the other one. And those were both exercises that I had done for over a decade. And I'd reached the kind of like the peak of my strength in those two areas, completely stopped doing them. All I did was barbell back squat. All I did was deadlift for those muscle groups. Mm-hmm. Came back to it after, I don't know, maybe 8 months to a year of training that way and PR'd my leg extension yep. and leg curls without doing it at all. So remember, I'm not training it at all. Come back to it, not done it at all for 8 months, and was doing more weight on both leg extension and leg curls than I ever had in my entire life after I had stopped doing it for 8 months because of how powerful deadlifting and squatting was for those muscle groups.
Now, would the reverse have happened?
No.
Not even close. Yeah. Had you avoided squats and deadlifts and did just leg extensions and leg curls, you would have come back far weaker and those other, you know, big compound lifts.
Right.
So the carryover is a big thing. But again, applications in certain cases, it's just overused, which makes it, you know, overrated. All right, the next one is the pec deck. Okay, so now I know that there's value in exercises like the pec deck, like a cable crossover or a cable fly. I think those are pretty valuable. The pec deck really was a poorly designed chest machine. I mean, it puts you in external rotation.
Yeah, you have to be specific. You're talking about the one where your arm with the pads,
yes,
right?
Like this.
Yeah, I like
squeeze the, it in.
Yes, that's different, right? Okay. That's different. Where you're able to put yourself in this kind of position here, where you're not externally rotated, right? At the humerus, that's the upper arm. Pec deck with the arm up here, and you don't see them as often anymore. I think because people like this right here is not a very
lever,
not a very good feeling in the shoulder.
No.
And but they still exist. In fact,
unnecessary stress on the shoulder.
I remember as a trainer getting, and I would do it because, you know, the bodybuilders did it. But I remember always thinking like, I don't like the way this feels. I had a trainer come up to me and say, put your hands on the pads.
I would do this.
Yeah,
I would let the pads.
I don't want that till later.
Yeah, I would let the pads rest in between the crook of my arms, and I would do that.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I actually at first grabbed the pads, and then later on I learned to do what you did. And it was like mind-blowing. Whoa, this is a totally different exercise. So the reason why the pec deck is overrated is because it's poorly designed. Now, some people can do this and have no pain, which is totally fine. But I dare you, if you like to do this kind of external rotated pec deck, try bringing your arm in a better position. See how much more connected you feel to your chest.
Yeah, and like you said, there's other machines that actually do that where your arms can go out wide and it has a totally different functional feel to it as opposed to having my arms limited to this position, which does put unnecessary stress.
It's like
on the shoulder.
You know, in jiu-jitsu, there's an arm lock called an Americana. It almost puts you in that position. I swear to God,
yeah.
That
it's like at any moment, you're like, oh,
totally.
Well, I've seen people get hurt doing that because
yeah.
like, it has like a thing where you can adjust, and I've seen people put it way back and then they load and then it goes goes and drop
worst
it.
Worst thing you can do,
and they hurt their shoulder.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, so this next one. By the way, I just want to be clear. Guilty of using all these exercises wrong when I train clients, especially in the first half of my career. But probably the most guilty of all of these things is what I'm about to talk about. Okay, which
this one's kind of embarrassing. Yeah,
hey,
I was known for this.
This
for a while.
Is still very common in gyms right
common.
Now, and especially with early trainers. It's like a easy way to try and hit everything. You
it
know?
Is. Yep. It's the combo exercises. This is where you take multiple exercises and
dilute them.
Yeah, so like,
make them shitty.
Make them shittier.
This is how you take that's a way to say this. This is how you take a bunch of good exercises and make them shittier.
Yes.
Shittify it.
Here was my favorite one. This was the one, I don't know,
I know where you're right.
Lunge to curl to press.
I would add to that. Bro. Lunge to curl to balance to press.
That's, I did that too.
Bro, that was my move right there. That was my move from like 20 to 26.
Back lunge to step up to press to back lunge to row.
Wow.
I mean, that got crazy.
Yeah. And when you combine all these different exercises, you actually start to take away the value of each of the exercises. And it just becomes an overall, I don't know, a burning calorie movement, in which case the movement doesn't really matter as much.
Well, what you yeah. really do is this. Like, okay, what'd you say? A lunge, a balance, a curl, a press, right? Yeah. So there's four exercises. We've said this before. If every exercise has a value, let's say a 1 to 10, 1 yeah. being terrible, 10 being great, and let's say those four exercises have an average of 8, or they have a, you know, one's a 7, one's an 8, one's a 9, one's a 6, or whatever like that, you literally just take off 4 points on each one of yes. them. That's by combining them all together and their value when standing alone, what they value you as far as what they give to you, by combining them like that, you literally take 3 to 4 points off yeah. of all
and
of them.
Part of the problem is the weight that you use for five different exercises is not appropriate for half or most of them, right? So what I can lunge with right. while holding is not what I'm going to use to curl and not what I'm going to use to shoulder press. So when you're doing this exercise with a client, they fatigue on the curl before mm-hmm. they fatigue on the lunge.
Or which is why you got to use 5-pound dumbbells.
One of them yes. is, yeah, way demanding, and the rest just like are basically useless.
Yes, and the form starts to break down on one of them, and then it's the client is almost encouraged. Not even, you're not even explicitly encouraging this. It's just implicit in kind of the movement that form isn't as important.
Now, okay, some of these movements we've talked about, you know, exceptions to the rule of or where we would still use yeah. it or where it has application. Do you see any application here, or is there any exception to the rule here where, knowing what you know now today, would you ever program that?
I would combine maybe two in a movement. I wouldn't do the three or four. Like I could see like a squat to balance or a back step lunge to toe touch if I'm really working on, you know, like hip extension and stability type of stuff. But when you start to get to 3, 4, you know, then you start to do the man scientist. What's that? What is it called when people make a complicated machine to do a simple task?
Oh, Rube's Goldberg?
Yeah, it's like you're doing the Rube's Goldberg with exercises. Like,
yeah, no, I know. Yeah, what was it, Doug? You know what it's called?
Oh, okay. No, it sounds right.
Sounds about right. Okay, so no, but yeah, I obviously you see that in Lunge Matrix, or I've done this with step-ups as a way to program different ways of hitting multiple planes. But as long as you're controlled and you're basically loaded similar, and you're not trying to add, like, you know, curling, pressing and all these things to interrupt it, I think that for me, I find justification there when yeah. I'm trying to kind of move in different directions.
Yeah. I told one of my last clients, right, that Christine, who I still see occasionally, that if there was a movement that I would like you to be able to continue to do forever, right? So she's in her mid-50s. I said, it's the step up to balance to toe touch.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I could see lots of value in that.
Even though I know I'm not going to build tremendous strength with that, but what I'm the functionality of that movement, being capable to step up on a high step, to stabilize the hips, and then to hinge the yeah. body over and stabilize the hips in the hinge, I just think is it hits so many things that you want to keep healthy as you advance into age. So I do see like an application for that. And mm-hmm. I do see how, you know, having somebody who's an advanced age saying, hey, this mm-hmm. is something I want you to be able to do forever, for as long as you can. And that's exactly what I said. Is listen, if you and I move on from each other and I don't see you in a decade from now or like that, like, and if there's one thing you can remember from me, be able to do this and just keep making sure that you can do this.
I also like certain exercises where you can maintain an isometric position, but also have to do work. Like, so
yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right. So if I'm getting rid of the bench and say I'm using a stability ball or just the ground to do a hip bridge, and then I'm doing a press.
Yeah.
You know, something like that where I'm including, you know, the hip bridge is the isometric hold. And then I'm doing a press.
Or a tripod position with a row or something like that right. where you're using the core stability.
Exactly.
Like I could see that. And again, combo exercises done properly in the right application have value, but they were almost are never used that way. And you know, by the way, you know where they came from? They came from group exercise classes. That's who started this.
Yeah, it reminds me of body pump shit.
That's exactly where it came from.
Yeah, when you look at like the, you know, 24 Hour Fitness or the Les Mills, like body pump type classes. They're like,
that's what they did.
Yeah.
For conditioning, like, it's, again, so this is like a little bit, it's cringy for me because I still, like, I'll do combo stuff for conditioning, but it's different because I feel like that's the purpose that I'm focused on is a controlled, you know, like, for instance, with kettlebells, like, I'll do transitionary exercises, but it just flows well between the different
and
exercises.
And the truth is, and this is the truth now, the more movements you combine together into one movement, the more crucial experience in programming is.
Yeah.
Because you're adding more variables, and if you know what you're doing, then you're putting together something that's going to work really well. If you don't know what you're doing, what you're actually doing is taking all those, like we said earlier, all those exercises and make them far less valuable. So that's why they're so damn overrated, is because when you see them being done, it's almost never done by someone who understands how to combine those things.
Yep.
All right, the next one. This is this one we might get a little heat from.
Really?
Maybe, because it's like in every butt building, you know, whatever workout for women or whatever. Donkey kickbacks. I'm talking about the ones on the floor with no weight or with an ankle weight, and they're doing the donkey kickback. Now, I could see value in correcting an imbalance.
Is this Jane Fonda or
as a primer? I mean, as a primer, absolutely tremendous value as a primer. As an exercise to build muscle in the butt, trash.
Totally.
Absolute trash. Yeah. Like the worst thing that if you're out there and you're at home and you're doing these things trying to build a butt, like good luck. You're digging a pool, you know, with a spoon.
You feel it, but you're not really stressing or putting any demand on it.
So that's the point to make right there, is there's this misconception. And by the way, like I fell for this too as a young trainer, is thinking that just because I feel it.
Yeah, that's
the most true. From the exercise. Like, I remember even telling people that, like, oh, you should do the ones that you feel the most. It's like, no, and that kind of goes back to the leg extension point you're making. It's just because you feel a movement in the area you're targeting the most doesn't mean it's going to build the most muscle. No.
It's, you know, when it's valuable to feel something when you can't feel that muscle doing anything else,
which is the priming point.
Right. Yeah, so like if you have poor connection to your glute muscles, and you're like, I can't feel them when I hip thrust, I can't feel them when I barbell squat, I can't feel them when I deadlift. Then doing something like this helps you connect to the muscle, just like maybe leg extensions. Like, I can't connect to my quads, I never feel them. Well, this exercise isolates it so much that you're going to feel it, and it's going to help you feel it in these other more valuable exercises. But they're not used that way. You almost never see donkey kickbacks being used that way. They're almost always used as a butt builder, in which case the tension is too low, the reps are too high. And it's just an ineffective butt building.
And
exercise.
I would see it all. I mean, it's it's up there too with like the jump lunges and all these like high intensity butt exercises that I would see. And I'd see these bikini competitors. That's when I saw it the most. Right, doing these movements. And I'm like, oh my God, you do this at the front of your workout and you fatigue the fuck out of your glutes. And then even if you do good movements like squatting and deadlifting later, that muscle's so damn fatigued, it's not activating or working. Your other muscles are taking over the movement that's probably really good for that. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you really want to fire the glutes and you want to use it as a primer, okay, do a round or two of it.
So you can feel it.
Yeah, that's it. You're not trying to fatigue it. You're not trying to get it burning like crazy. It's like you're just trying to activate it, get it to light up, and then go do the movements like squatting and deadlifting and good mornings and these other movements that are really going to build the glutes. You're wasting your time doing
that. Yeah, I remember reading an article. I wish I remember who wrote this. And the argument you're making was made so well in this article that it completely changed how I worked out myself. I was a kid. And it was that it was the argument about, you know, oh, you just because you feel an exercise doesn't mean, or a muscle burns doesn't mean it's a great muscle builder. And the example that this person used was brilliant. They said you could extend your arms out to your sides and do shoulder circles for 2 minutes, and your shoulders will be on fire, but they're not going to build like with an overhead press. And I thought, that's so true. Yeah. And that made perfect sense to me. And I changed my training up, far better results after that. All right, the next one, I didn't necessarily want to put this up here.
I'm not going
to
write
Justin
that
and I twisted Sal's arm to put this one in because in a recent episode, I don't remember what the question was, or what Sal brought up tricep kickbacks, and I vividly remember the look on Justin's face because it was probably mirrored the look on my face. Like, did that fool just say tricep kickbacks for an exercise?
Yeah. I tend to like them just because I can get a good pump and squeeze in the muscle, but I can see your argument as to why they're overrated. People do these in place of a close grip push-up or – a press or
it was a
bottom of the barrel. Yeah,
I mean, I'm guilty of every female I trained from 2000 to 2005 had tricep kickbacks in their workout. Every female, yeah. It was just yeah. It just and I used
I
to
program.
I used to do it where they were one knee was on the bench, the other leg was out straight, so they were trying to have to kind of balance and stabilize.
Oh, yeah, you combined two worthless exercises.
I did. I combined two worthless exercises. Guilty as charged. Right. So I did this. Yeah, type of shit, and I did it for years, thinking that it was a great exercise. Again, when someone does a tricep kickback, they feel it,
they do.
And it's hard to extend it, and so they feel that tricep. But kind of like to your shoulder analogy, is if you know just because you feel it in the tricep right there, that shit is not going to come close to a dip or a close grip.
Yeah,
I could
name seven exercises that are more effective.
That's right, and maybe that's a good way to say this, right? Like we're not saying like we've said already.
Yeah, it's like a rating system.
Name 5 to 7 exercises better than every single thing
that's
on
true.
Here. And that's a good way to put this, is that that's what we mean by overrated. Not that they don't have some value or they don't have application. It's just that if I can name 7 other movements that
literally
are better
than
that movement.
Anything named kickback in there is garbage.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else is good. Unless it's a government
just
kickback.
Go with that standard.
Those aren't garbage. Give me my money.
I mean,
back.
Except that for money kickbacks.
Yeah. Does that exist?
I'm talking about exercises, not,
All
right, so we have some honorable mentions that we're going to bring up.
They didn't make the cut, but we had to talk
about
them.
They didn't make the cut, but really that's because they're kind of general categories. They're not specific exercises.
Or maybe we thought people wouldn't be familiar with them, too, because some people don't know what they are.
Yeah, like not enough people are doing them to really talk about them. But I'll bring one up. I know you guys have your own. Mm-hmm. For me, it's and I find this so hilarious. I think people are bored or trying to make cool videos for Instagram. Or they're smelling their own farts. They think they're so much smarter
than
they really are. And that's when people use machines in ways that they're totally not designed to be used. So like a good example is like getting on the hammer strength chest press and then doing it sideways. Like you ever seen that sideways
Joey
chest
Swole.
Press?
Yeah,
like, okay.
So popular.
Hilarious. Or
didn't he make that popular? I'd never seen it until that kid did it.
Yeah. Like,
he was doing this all day.
Yeah. Like what do
work your inner chest.
No, you don't. And it's stupid. This one, I've seen this one many times. I don't understand why you're going to do this, but people use the leg press like a shoulder press.
Oh, that was an interesting one when that got popular.
Yeah, like they're sitting on the part where you're supposed to lay back on, and then the platform, they're pressing with their
arms. Whoa,
there's like 7 other shoulder machines in the gym and then dumbbells and barbells. I don't understand what the purpose is. I don't know. Again, I think people are just like, they think they're smarter than inventors of machines or something. And they're like, I'm going
to. So I like to admit every time that I did some of those stupid things, I definitely did stuff like this. And I totally remember why I did it. So as
you
a young.
People look at you.
I did. Yeah. I wanted the attention, not from like gym members, but from people potentially that would buy training for
me.
It was a conversation starter. I love to take a beat because I understood biomechanics. I understood how the muscles needed to be.
I want to hire that trainer.
And I could take like a calf raise. Okay. I could take a calf raise machine and turn it into a shrug.
He's
machine.
So creative.
You know what I'm saying? I could do something like that.
I've seen that.
Yeah, I would do shit
the
like
calf
that.
Machine, like
and you would get the craziest looks, and it would always create somebody would come over and be like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, let me book an appointment with you so I can
reverse
explain.
Hack Listen, squat like front
I'm gonna,
squats."
I'm gonna give you a pass, dude, because you're building your business and you're using it
right. There was a little strategy.
That was very smart advertising. Actually, the way you explained that made a lot of sense.
I did. So I'm guilty of doing this, but I did have a desired outcome. The desired outcome was it was so unique or weird or different that somebody would question it or challenge me, and then I would be able to explain why I'm doing it, and then now I could pretend like I'm this really smart
trainer. I've seen people do shrugs on a preacher curl machine. I saw a girl do hip thrusts on a leg extension.
That's actually become more popular.
More popular.
Yeah, I've seen
to
that.
Get
I've
underneath
seen
a, like a leg extension machine.
Have you seen that?
And turn it into
they take
a hip thrust.
I mean,
creativity, I guess, just means you're doing things different. So in that case, these are very creative people, but so little value. It's hilarious. Machines, use them the way they're
it's
designed.
You know,
if you want to get creative, do it with free weights.
I want to make a point about those people, right? Because I've seen this. I also see that in the bikini competitor community a lot. Is the person like that, it's not that big of a deal. You know, so what? That person's in the gym for 2 hours. They probably did a bunch of things.
Junk volume. They're just doing extra.
Yeah, whatever. You know,
chalk it up
but
to them being bored.
What happens, okay, in the gym space is some quiet, shy lady sees that, who's just getting into fitness, and she sees the way that girl looks.
Yep.
And she looks amazing, and then she's doing this stupid exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. And instead of squatting and
deadlifting. Right, and so then she thinks that, and this is where we get this kind of monkey
see. That's where it gets really annoying.
Yeah, monkey see, monkey do type of behavior, where somebody sees a body that looks really good, they see him doing a stupid movement, and then it gets legs. It's like, oh, wow, that must be, look at her, or look at him, and he's doing the sideways pec deck. I'm going to try and do that. So I think that's where, and to that person, you know, who cares? Like, and I know their argument back, well, look at me, or look how, it's like, okay, well, that's because of the 2 hours you spent in here doing all the other shit.
Well, I mean, mine kind of goes in line with the machine, because technically it is a machine, because if it's an assisted pull-up, you know, it's there to assist your pull-up.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
talk
not,
about.
It's for a leg press.
Oh, yeah.
Not to step on it and push it down using gravity and everything else.
Okay, like, I don't understand that at all.
I'm waiting there to use it, you know, for its intended purpose, and somebody's there doing this all day.
Yeah, it's okay. You want to press one leg? Use a leg press. You could step up on a step.
Yeah, you got to explain what Justin is talking about. There's a machine. They're normally called either assisted pull up or a Gravitron. And you step up on it, and you put your knees on it. It has weight, and it assists you.
Or there's a bar that you stand on.
Right, or there's a bar you stand on, and it helps you to do pull-ups. Great machine for that purpose, right, for if you're actually doing pull-ups on it. And some trends started maybe a decade ago, or that's probably, I saw it at least 6-7 years ago the first time, where somebody would get up on there, and they put one leg, and then they push it down.
Yeah.
The stupidest thing ever.
It's just like
a lunge, a step up, a leg press. I mean, I can name 20 exercises.
There's so many other options that you can get way more muscle activity and function out of it than whatever you're doing with that.
Yeah, and even if you used enough resistance to make a difference, you would just step your body up. You would push it down. It makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't work. If you actually used enough weight, you wouldn't be able to move it down.
No, you would just have to step up.
It's already helping you. Come on.
All right, okay. So if that's yours, then I want to add one that I think the reason is because I want to see it end. And another popular trend that you saw on Instagram, which is the guys and girls, I've seen guilty of this, but mostly guys, doing the crunches, hanging upside down with a friend punching you.
In the stomach?
Yeah. Or the leg lifts with...
I thought that was just one viral video, but
there is only one application for that, is if you were a fucking fighter. If you were an actual fighter.
Rocky did them in Rocky 1, and he's a fighter.
Dude, that's where it started.
Right? That's exactly where it started.
So unless you were a fighter, it does not, and then really the application and the adaptation you're seeking is, can I take a fucking punch while I'm doing other shit? And that's what fighters have to do.
Yes.
Fighters have to move around, throw punches, and take a punch in their stomach. So if you were that person, then okay, just fight. Everybody else, you're an idiot.
Getting hit in a muscle does not induce muscle hypertrophy or strength or fat loss. Literally, when boxers do movement, because it's okay, it comes from old school boxing exercises with medicine balls. Old school medicine balls were actually filled with sand. They were big and they were heavy. Now we have rubber ones and stuff like that. And boxers would get hit in the gut with them. And what they did is they trained you to breathe and how to take a punch. Because there's actually a technique to being able to take
breathe
a blow.
While bracing.
Yes, there's a technique to it, and that's what they're learning. There's zero other application. In fact, it will only reduce the ability for you to work your abs through full range of motion. I think it's one of those. It's one of those things where they're like, I want to look cool.
Yeah.
I want to look really cool.
This is the dumbest thing ever.
You know, we should go to a gym and do that for other body parts. It's like, why I do curls?
Punch Justin in the glutes.
Yeah.
Squat. Squat again.
Can we make a video of that?
Bro, please? That's the next viral video right there.
Man. New butt extra. Why are you doing curls?
That'd be amazing.
Punch me in the bicep.
Please.
Like,
please.
Yeah, hilarious. So there you have it. Overrated exercises and some honorable mentions. Look, if you like our information, head over to mindpumpfree.com and check out our guides. We have guides that can help you with almost any fitness goal. Also, you can find us on social media. Justin is on Instagram at mindpumpjustin. Now, Adam and I have been shadow banned by Instagram, but if you try real hard, you can find us, and then you can find out while we're shadow banned. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.